Morning, everyone. My name's Tim, and I'm one of the pastors here at Seven Oaks. And what a morning. I am an avid mountain biker. So I'm one of those crazy guys that loves to go ripping down trails, hitting jumps, and doing nutty things like that. And Friday evening, things didn't go so well. For me, when I hit a jump and had what they call OTB, over the bars, so hit a jump, landed too far on the side, hit the front brake, did a full flip in the air, it hurt in the air, landed on the ground, couldn't move in a pile of stinging nettles, and thankfully my friend Ben was there with me, but all that to say is I'm really sore still this morning. So if I'm like moving weird, it's because my lower back does not want to bend anymore. So forgive me if there's any kind of weird movement. I might sit after a little while. How many of you are familiar with the term schoolyard pick? Schoolyard pick. When you were in school, many of us experienced this. If you were splitting into teams for a game or an activity, you'd pick captains, two captains usually, and the captains would take turns picking who they wanted on their team. You pick two captains, everybody else lines up against the wall, and the captain who gets first pick says, I want so-and-so. And then the next person says, well, I want so-and-so with my first pick. And then they go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth until they have all the players have been chosen or they've chosen the number of players that they need on their team for that particular game. How many of you remember being in that lineup and wondering, am I going to get picked for this game? Okay. Now, the criteria for getting picked early on in the game was that there was something desirable about you, no? If you were good at the game or you were really good friends with the captain, sometimes that had really good credibility, you would get chosen first or in the first little bit. And man, that felt really good when you got picked to be on that team, didn't it? And the unfortunate side is, sorry, what was that, Barry?
Oh, no.
Okay, which feeds into the next part, which is, man, if you didn't get picked in the first little bit, or if you just didn't get picked at all, that stung a little, right? That did not feel so good. So it felt good to be picked, but it felt really bad to not be picked. Why is that? I'd say it's because we all have this innate desire inside of us to feel wanted. And I'd say we all go through life, particularly in the early identity-forming years of childhood, early adolescence, into young adulthood, asking this question, am I wanted? Does anybody want me? And the answer that we come up with to that question is largely dependent on other people's acceptance or rejection of us. So whenever somebody says, whenever they pick you or whenever they say, way to go, then you're thinking, oh, somebody wants me. And whenever somebody rejects you or doesn't pick you, you say, oh, I guess nobody wants me. I'm unwanted. That certainly was a story of my early adolescent and childhood years. When I came through those difficult years, which they are for everybody. Youth, are you up in the balcony this morning? Usually the youth sit up in the balcony. Okay, this is particularly for you. It's hard being a young person because you're answering this question, am I wanted, so acutely. You're feeling it. For years, I believed that nobody wanted me, that I was unwanted. Regardless, didn't matter how often my parents said, we love you, and how consistent their parenting was, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't accept it. Why? Because I had been told by other people through the way that they treated me, their acceptance or rejection, that I wasn't wanted. I had a speech impediment in elementary school and had to go see the special teacher. Man, kids just made fun of me like crazy for that. And in those years, that stung. In high school, I played on the basketball team and I worked my buns off and sat on the bench every single game only to get yelled at incessantly by the coach for not being good enough. And when I did get on the court, for either the last 20 seconds of the game when we were losing or winning by 40, then I would get to go on the court, and what would happen is I'd be so nervous to be on the court that if I would turn the ball over, even in those moments, he would pull me off and scream at me. I came to believe I wasn't good enough. I was a shy kid who I remember whenever I'd get the courage to speak to other people, when I get the courage to speak, they would turn it back at me and make fun of me for what I said. I received ridicule from my peers. I so became so feared rejection and ridicule that I just went into a shell. Maybe some of you can relate. Just a little tiny shell thinking, I hope nobody talks to me. I hope I don't have to talk to anybody, because what you expect is rejection. Because you view all your experiences through the lens of, I'm not wanted here. Nobody wants me, and we believe it. And for you, maybe this feeling of feeling unwanted, which I would say most of us, that's our default position in life, our default view of ourselves. Maybe you came to that conclusion because of other factors in your life, other shapers. Maybe your friends excluded you. Maybe your parents said, we didn't want you, you were an accident. Maybe your spouse neglected you or left you. Maybe you were put up for adoption. Maybe a loved one died young in life, and you started to believe that you're not wanted. Am I wanted? I'd say that's our defining question. Am I wanted? And we're always looking for the answer to that question. This week I was doing some research, online research, via Google. Okay, not like cheesy Instagram or Facebook research. This was real research, like life hacks and psychology articles, dealing with this feeling that people feel unwanted. And how do people handle it? What's the solution to this feeling of unwantedness? And it was fascinating. As I waded through all these articles and stories, here's how the world, people online, say, here's how to deal with feeling unwanted. First, you try to make yourself more desirable. If you feel unwanted, then you better work really hard to make yourself look better or speak better or have a better job or a better house or a nicer car so that people are going to want you. You need to become the person that people want, the kind of person that somebody wants to pick first on the team. But we know that that never works, because you're never going to do enough to be wanted by everybody. You're always going to experience rejection in some point, so we can tell that if I'm feeling unwanted and I need to go and make myself more wanted, it's going to leave me feeling wanted in the end still. It won't get filled up that way. And a second thing that people say online, if you want to feel wanted, don't worry about looking to other people to fill that, just look within yourself. Look within yourself. Dennis, can you pull this quote up, please? This was a quote from a Life Hacks article from this week. It says, only you can fill that empty hole within yourself to feel wanted. You don't need anyone else. Sure, other people can provide you with immense support and assistance, but they can never authentically fill that void within you. Only you can. You need to reaffirm your value on your own self-worth and believe in all the good that you have to offer. If you feel unwanted, that's what you do. Just look inside yourself. Look inside yourself. Dennis, can you roll this video, please? Here's another way that we view this.
Daily Affirmation with Stuart Smalley.
Can you turn it up, please?
I'm going to do a terrific show today, and I'm going to help people because I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Sweet. Thank you, Dennis.
Daily Affirmation.
We only need to see it once. Stuart, that's okay. Oh, he's coming up again. Okay. So that's a sketch from Saturday Night Live from the early 90s, but I think it really captures that. If you want to feel wanted, just look in the mirror and tell yourself how great you are. I'm good enough. I'm smart enough. Doggone it. People like me. So the world says either look to others to make yourself feel more wanted or look to yourself. And we're in the middle of a series here at Seven Oaks called Identity Theft, which is all about finding our identity in Christ. And this morning I want to tell you, if you're feeling unwanted, the place to look is not to other people. It's not to look within. So it's not looking horizontally. The solution is to look vertically. Vertically to the God who made you. You've heard the phrase, find your identity in Christ, most likely before. It's a phrase that we throw around. You just got to find your identity in Christ. Here's what we mean by that. It means we believe, we agree with, and see ourselves as the people God says we are. And we disagree with the lies that the world wants us to believe. So to find your identity in Christ means that you agree with and see yourself as the person God says that you are, and you disagree with the lies that the world says about you. So to look vertically instead of horizontally for identity, to answer the question, am I wanted? Not what these people say, but what he says. So that's what we're going to be doing this morning. So far in this series, Jamie did the first 2 weeks. In the first week, our identity in Christ was new. We were a new creation. Sometimes we think, I can't change. This is who I am. I can't change. And the news that you are a new creation in Christ is really good news, because that means reboot. That means you might think you can't change, but you can change because God has made you new. You're a new creation. You're not the old you anymore. And then the next week, it was on freedom. You are free. In Christ, because of what Jesus did for you, you are actually free. You no longer need to be weighed down by the burden of sin. You no longer need to wonder if you're doing enough, carry the backpack of burden of, am I doing enough to please God? Because he's freed you from both of those things. You're completely free. And this morning, the good news for us is this. God says that you are wanted. Despite what you may have come to believe or you may be feeling about yourself, this morning, God wanted you, and he graciously chose you to be a part of his family through faith in Jesus. There's our good news statement this morning. God wanted you. You might not feel wanted, but God wanted you. Where do we get this from? Well, a number of places. So since I'm saying God wanted you, where does that come from? We're going to look at Scripture together this morning. And it's got to be a little bit more of an overview, because unfortunately for the idea God wanted you, he desired you, doesn't just come from one Scripture passage, like in Christ you're a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5, it's clear. Or in Christ you're free. There's passages that say that exactly. There's no passage that says explicitly, for God so wanted you. So we have to get it from a holistic approach to Scripture. But I want us to turn our eyes this morning to Ephesians chapter 1 to start off with. Ephesians chapter 1. And these words are true of you if you are in Christ. Identity in Christ, meaning if you know Jesus, if you believe in Jesus, this is true of you. So the Apostle Paul wrote these words to the early church, the church that was in the town of Ephesus in modern-day Turkey. They had come out of either Judaism or they were Gentiles. They didn't believe in God, and they had come to faith in Jesus. They had come to believe that Jesus was the only way to be saved. And because of that, they were marginalized in their culture. Sometimes their family was pushing them out because of their newfound belief in Jesus. So Paul, when he begins his letter to them, he says, you know what, you may not feel like this was worth it, but let me remind you who you are. Let me remind you who you are. And first, in Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 6, he says this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons and daughters through Christ Jesus, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he's blessed us in the beloved. So to the church in Ephesus and to us this morning who know Jesus, regardless of what you feel or what you've come to believe about your worth and whether you are wanted, Paul reminds you, you are chosen. Hallelujah. And if God chose us, then that means he wanted us. He desired us. He chose us even before he made anything in the world. The God of the universe, the one who made you and everyone else on earth, the one who made everything, this passage says, before he made it, he looked ahead into the future and he chose you. And he said, I want that person and that person and that person and that person. For what? To be in his family, it says. To be adopted as his sons and his daughters. Even before he made anything, he looked forward into the future, seeing you, knowing who you would become, and he said, I want you. And I don't want you to be my slave or my servant. I want you to be my child, my son or my daughter, whom I love. That's how wanted you are. Hallelujah. That's how God wants you. This language of adoption in Scripture is so, so, so amazing that God doesn't just settle for us. He doesn't just say, I guess they'll do. He actively wanted and pursues and adopts by his love through Jesus into his family so that he can be our father and we can experience the love and the comfort and the security and the safety of being called the children of God. And in John chapter 1, verse 12, John says, to all who did receive him, that's Jesus, and who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. If you're here feeling unwanted, but you believe in Jesus, unwanted is not the truth about you. Wanted is the truth. Wanted child is the truth. And if God wants you in his family, and his desire is great for you, his affection for you is deep. And I've told the story before about our family and how I came to believe this more firmly through adopting our kids and choosing our kids and seeing them before they did anything good to please us and just deciding to love them and choosing them to be a part of our family. And we get this idea through adoption, the adoption imagery of you being adopted by Christ through Christ Jesus into God's family. It means no matter what you do, he's not going to abandon you. No matter what you do, he's not going to forsake you. No matter what you do, he's not going to say, not my kid anymore. You're not holding up your end of the bargain. No, because Paul says the initiative came from him. And him choosing to love you. God wants you. He wanted you and he wants you. There's all kinds of scriptures in the Old Testament that talk about God's affection for his people. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 7. For some of us, this idea of God wanting us, God desiring us, is kind of new language. The thought that God actually feels emotion for his people, for his children, might be new. So let me just show you a few instances in the Old Testament, a few of my favorites to talk about how God feels about his people, about his children. Deuteronomy chapter 7, after he gives Israel, his people, the law, after he gives them the Ten Commandments, he reminds them of who they are because they're going to forget. And he says, for you're a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession. Out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth, it wasn't because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it's because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers that the Lord has brought you out with his mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Do you see in there, he says, he describes his people as his chosen ones who are his treasured possession. I love that language. The idea that God's people and through extension, through Jesus Christ, all of us who are in Christ are God's treasured possession. How do we treat possessions that we consider treasured? We put them on a pedestal, don't we? I think of a trophy case right away. Those are my treasured possessions. And God says his people, his children, those in his family are his treasured possession. Whom he loves because he chose to love them. Hallelujah. And you can flip to Isaiah 43 next. This has become one of my favorites. Isaiah chapter 43, which was true of Israel and through Jesus is true of God's people. Through Jesus. Says, Isaiah 43 verse 1, but now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, Listen, fear not, for I've redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. I wanted you. When you pass through the waters, I'm going to be with you. And through the rivers, they won't overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I, the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior, I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you. Why? Verse 4. Because you're precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. Precious in God's eyes. Honored, loved by God, treasured possession, his adopted children. God wants you. He wanted you. That much. That's how he feels about you. He doesn't settle for you. You may feel rejected and neglected and abandoned by others in your life, but God says, Look back at Jesus and how much I wanted you. Look at how much I want you still. I chose you, you're mine, I love you, you're special. That's who you are, that's the truth. Amen. And we got to ask, what in you made you desirable to God? When we revert back to the schoolyard pick, right? And how that was always based on there's something desirable about the people that got picked, right? They were either good at the sport or whatever. We chose based on that. Is that how God chose you? Is that how he chose me? Because there was anything desirable in us? Man, the passage from Ephesians doesn't suggest that, and neither does the passage from Deuteronomy. God doesn't choose who to be in his family based on their desirability. He just chooses them. And we get that in Deuteronomy 7 when he says to Israel, I didn't pick you because you were the best of everybody. There weren't the most of you. In fact, there were the least of you. All the reasons that the world would choose someone, God says, that's not why I chose you. I chose you because you were the smallest. You were the most insignificant. Why? So that the world would see how great I am. And then in the Ephesians 1 text, Paul reminds the church when God chose them, so that there was nothing in their mind that could say, he chose me because I'm amazing. He said, God chose you before the foundation of the world, even before he made anything, before you were even alive, he chose you. He wanted you so that you could not say, aren't I amazing? God should be thankful to have me on his team. Because he knew if it had anything to do with our making ourselves desirable to him by doing amazing things, then we would turn it on ourselves and say, oh God, you should really be thankful to have me. I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good. Of course you wanted me in your family. No, God says, I chose you even though you didn't deserve it. I chose you because there wasn't anything extra special inside of you that you did. I just chose to love you. I chose to love you. And again, that's back to the adoption imagery of parents never choose a child to join their family because there's anything amazing about that child. They just choose them. They want them, and they will stop at nothing. So you are wanted by God not because you're good enough, smart enough, and doggone it, people like you. As Stuart Smalley said, you are wanted by God to show off his grace. Paul says that in Ephesians 1. He says, all of this is to the praise of his glorious grace. The word grace means undeserved gift. All of God's children, wanted by God, have experienced grace, an undeserved gift, so that they cannot boast. My kids did not decide to be in my family ultimately. We decided we wanted them. They responded to that. They had to respond to that. But it was our choice at the beginning. So it's more effective when it comes back to feeling unwanted. It's more effective to look into the Word of God and what it says is true of you. It's more effective to look there than it is to look in the mirror each morning and remind yourself of how good you are. I encourage us every morning, open the Word of God, who becomes our mirror, to listen to him, to let him tell you who you are. Because when we look in there, we will see we were not good enough. Jesus was for us. We were not smart enough. We don't need to be smart enough. God doesn't just pick the smart people. And people don't even have to like us all the time, because you know what? We can be really difficult. We're not always all that likable, but God, somehow through all of that, wanted us to be in his family always. How about starting each day with that? I bet we would start to see ourselves differently. I bet we would start to see our world differently if we started to believe that we're not who other people say we are. We're not to look within for identity, but we're to look to God. So you may be here this morning as a Christian, and you just needed to be reminded this morning of who you are again. Well, it's a good thing, because 9 weeks we're doing that, right? Maybe you came this morning, I am unwanted, nobody wants me, why would anybody want me? I'm junk. And it might sound extreme to say that, but some of us really do operate that way, even in our adult years. We might do something good, and we'll say, oh yeah, like, people want me. They're telling me that I'm great, and it fuels us. Or as soon as we get one little critical word, we walk off and we say, oh, I'm junk. Nobody wants me. I can't believe how horrible I am. And you know what? Sometimes those are even the lies that the enemy is wanting to put in us after we do something like preaching. Jamie, I don't know if you ever experienced this, but sometimes you can stand up here declaring the counsel of God and the truth of who he says we are, and as soon as you walk off the stage, when we're singing a song, you can be hearing the voices saying, you're an idiot. I can't believe that you said that. That was horrible. That was trash. God's never going to use that. Which is why I and all of us need to constantly be reminding ourselves and hearing from God's word that he wanted us, not because of the good stuff that we do for him. That's the truth. Amen. We need to hear God say to us, I chose you, I wanted you, you're part of my family, and you always will be. Hallelujah. You always will be. You know, something that I've noticed having children who have been adopted, children who are put up for adoption have all experienced a certain sense of abandonment from their biological parents. Regardless of how young they're adopted, there's always this feeling of I've been abandoned and I feel unwanted. And we see that manifest all the time in our kids, even though we adopted them both when they were young. But adopting a parent, parenting an adopted child is always a long, patient process of constantly assuring them of who they are and reminding them when they want to push you away, just like we want to push God away sometimes. And he lovingly continues to remind us and assure us, you're mine. I chose you. I'm going to love you no matter how you fail me. I'm going to be proud of you. You are my son. You are my daughter. That's our journey as parents every single day. With our kids, reminding them of how loved and wanted and chosen they were. And that's what God wants to say to you this morning. I'm convinced of it. He wants to assure your heart of how safe you are and how much he loves you and wanted you. He pursues you. So for some, if you're in Christ already this morning, you knew Jesus, it's just a simple reminder. Because we can never be reminded of that truth enough. And for some of you here this morning, this whole being wanted by God thing might be new. It might be new. You may have believed your whole life that you're unworthy of love from anybody and that nobody wants you. Maybe that's been your narrative, and maybe that's what you've come to believe, and you're sitting here this morning thinking, what in the world? This is crazy. I never imagined God as desiring of humans. I've only imagined God as being capricious and mean and waiting to just smite people who sin. Maybe that's been your perception of God up until this morning. The last thing you would have ever perceived God as is pursuing and loving. You need to hear this morning that he wants you. The same God who wanted everyone who's in Christ here this morning wants you. And you might feel alienated and alone, and God says, I want to adopt you into my family. I want to take away that alienation, and I want to replace it with the joy of being a part of an everlasting father, family, and experiencing the love of a father that isn't going to change for you. He wants to be in relationship with you. He wants to adopt you. And here's all that's required for that. God adopts us through his son, Jesus. It requires turning away from your sin and your old life and trusting in Jesus that he has done everything to make a way possible for you to join God's family. And I believe that God's Spirit is telling you that this morning. You need to turn away from who you've become. When you turn away from who you've become, you're turning to God and you're trusting Jesus for what he has done for you. He's died for your sins and he rose over it so that you can experience the freedom and the love and the intimacy of being a part of God's family. We're going to sing another song. If the band could come up, we're going to sing in what I've just been talking about. And after that, if you're here and you're saying this God loving me stuff, wanting me is new, I want to know more about that, then I'm going to invite you after this song to come up and talk to me. Come up and talk to me. I'd love to introduce you to the God who wanted and who wants you. Let's sing.